1 Samuel chapter number 2, verse number 22. Now Eli was very old and heard that all his sons did unto Israel and how they lay with the women and assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And he said unto them, Why do you such things? For I hear of your evil dealings by all this people. Nay, my sons, for it is no good report that I hear you make the Lord's people to transgress. Then I want to skip over to chapter number 3 and go down to verse number 11. And I know there's quite a bit of things that transpire between chapter 2 here and chapter 3, verse number 11. Samuel is born, and we know that Samuel's mother Hannah gave him to God and then presented him to Eli to help Eli in keeping up the tabernacle of the Lord. And Samuel was to keep the candle lit in the presence of the Lord. And we find where the voice of God spoke to Samuel, and Samuel thought it was the voice of Eli. And three times the Lord spoke to him, but on the third time Eli had advised him that whenever they heard that voice again, to say, Thy servant heareth, Lord. And so we know the story how the Lord began to speak to Samuel as a young child. And here's what he said in verse number 11 of chapter number 3. And the Lord said to Samuel, Behold, I will do a thing in Israel at which both the ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle. In that day I'll perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house when I began, I will also make an end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. And therefore I have sworn in the house of Eli that the iniquity of this house, or Eli's house, shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offering forever. Amen. In other words, there will be no more sacrifice for the sin that has been committed in the house of Eli. Amen. I want you to notice here in the first portion of the text that I read to you in chapter number 2 and in verse number 23, he said to his sons, Why do you such things? For I hear of your evil dealings by all this people. May my sons, for it is no good report that I hear ye make the Lord's people to transgress. But then I want you to notice, it sounds like that Eli is addressing the problem there, and it sounds like that he's addressing the sin that is being committed. But I want you to notice, God knows all men's hearts. And notice what God said in chapter number 3. Amen. He said in verse 13, For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity that which he knoweth. Amen. He knoweth the sins that are being committed. And the Bible said, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. I want you to notice that. Eli knew what was taking place. The Bible tells us so in chapter number 2. But in chapter number 3, the Bible said that God knew, that Eli knew. Amen. And he said, because he restrained them not. Amen. Then judgment is going to come upon him because he done nothing concerning the sin of his son. I want you to look at this portion of Scripture tonight, and I'm going to preach tonight for just a little while on the sin you know about. Amen. That's what the text is going to be tonight, the sin you know about. Amen. We find here in this portion of Scripture the story of Eli. We know that he was a prophet of Israel, and when Eli, any of the Old Testament prophets, when you read concerning them, when they came together, amen, when people saw them, they wondered what was fixing to take place. They feared God because they knew that God spoke through these prophets of old. You can find in the book of 1 and 2 Kings, in the book of 1 Samuel Chronicles, that when Samuel came out, the people wondered, amen, what's fixing to transpire here? What is God angry about? What's God got to say to his people? Well, I want you to know the same reverence was toward Eli. He was a great man of God. He was a priest. Amen. He was the prophet of their time. And we know that everywhere that Eli went, he was highly respected. He was reverenced as the man of
of God. He was the voice of God to Israel, if you please. I want you to realize that when God spoke to the children of Israel, He never came down and spoke to the elders of Israel, but He always spoke through a prophet. He always spoke through the man who He had in charge. He always spoke through the man who He had called for the hour to be the leader of His children, Israel. At this particular time, Eli was that man. The voice of God came through the prophet Eli. And it was Eli that would bring forth the word of the Lord. It was Eli that would set the blessing or set the curse before the children of Israel. Amen. I want us to realize that in this story that I'm about to preach to you tonight, that Eli was as great a prophet as any of the prophets in the Old Testament. God had chosen him. God had called him. God had put His hand upon him and anointed him to be prophet of Israel. And he was highly reverenced. He was feared by most men because he was chosen of God. And they knew that he was a great man of God. I want you to realize that when people seen Eli, they seen the presence of Almighty God. Are you hearing me tonight? A lot of times we read this story and we think, well, Eli must have not been much. He must have just been one of the worldly preachers like we have in our hour today, but not so. Eli was a great man of God. He was chosen by God. The Spirit of God was in him, and God used him in great and mighty ways. I want you to realize that in his old age, Eli began to overlook some things that he used to not overlook. He began to ignore some things that he used to not ignore. Amen. Things that he used to call sin and things that he used to stand against. He's no longer standing against them any longer. And now it's his sons that is defiling the children of Israel. Amen. And he goes to his sons and it's rumored all through town how that his sons are sleeping with different women in the tribe of Israel. Amen. Then they're coming in and fulfilling the office of the priest. Amen. An offering sacrifice before God. And God is fed up with sin. And God is sick and tired of their lustful hearts. Amen. And them trying to fulfill the job of a priest and have the presence of God and represent Jesus Christ. I want you to realize tonight, amen, that the sons of Eli had been raised concerning what was right. They had been taught right from wrong. They knew what it was to live separated from sin. They knew what it was to be taught thou shalt not commit adultery and against fornication. They knew what it was not to take the Lord's name in vain. They knew what it was to be taught the commandments of God. They were no strangers to the presence of God. They were raised in the home of a great man of God. And so therefore they were taught. But there came a time in their life, amen, when they didn't value that they possessed. And they didn't value the presence of God any longer. And their sin became more pleasurable to them than the presence of God. Oh, I hope you'll help me preach a little while tonight. I want to tell you, we're living in an hour where people know about their sin, but yet they won't forsake their sin, but they want to conform to their sin. They want to hold on to their sin, just like the sons of Eli did. Amen. This great man of God, Eli, had every right in the world to bring his sons right out before the children of Israel and to openly, amen, state their sins before the whole tribe of Israel. He had that right. He had that authority. And that's what he should have done. And put them out of the priesthood as being unclean and undefiled. You see, even in the day and hour that they lived in, when a priest committed such sins as this, amen, it was law that they would take him outside the city and stone him just like anybody else. But you see, even Eli in his old age, amen, began to slip and began to ignore the sin that was around him. Amen. I want you to realize that in the hour that we're living in today, we can't afford to ignore the sin that is around us. I want to preach to you tonight that every real man of God, every real woman of God, whether they be a preacher or whether they be just a lay member, amen, will not partake in sin. Hallelujah. Amen. When they have the knowledge of sin, they'll have a desire through the presence of God that abideth in them to forsake that sin, to stand against that sin, to fight against sin, and have no part in sin. Oh, but we're living in a time today when there's many Elis that walk among us that see the sin, but yet they ignore the sin, and they keep partaking and taking part in the sin. You see, God was not only angry with the sons of Eli, but he was angry with Eli himself. Why? Because he restrained them not. He didn't do anything within his power to stop the sin. He didn't do anything within his power to prohibit sin, but he covered it up and he overlooked it. He turned his head in the other direction and he just slapped his young boys on the wrist and said, quit sinning. You're bringing shame to my household. You're bringing reproach against God. I want to tell you, my friend, there's a greater penalty than that for sin. Hallelujah. Sin should never be covered up. Sin should always be revealed. It's by revealing sin that you bring shame in the sinner. And I hope you're with me here tonight. Amen. But it's through revealing sin that brings shame in the heart of a sinner. Amen. The reason that in the hour that we live in today, in the nation that we live in, that there is no shame in sin anymore is because sin has been covered up and sin has been ignored and sin has been overlooked so long and for so many. Amen. That there is no shame or no reproach in sin. People can still sin and claim Christianity. Amen. They still feel comfortable in sinning and coming into the church and lifting their hands and worshiping God. I want to preach to you tonight. Amen. He knew about his sin. Amen. And you know about sin. Amen. It doesn't matter if it's your brother. It doesn't matter if it's your mother. If it's sin, it's wrong. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter if it's your son. It doesn't matter if it's your father. Amen. If it's sin, it's still wrong. Amen. I want to preach to you tonight that God has always been against sin, and he always will be against sin, and he'll always be against them that partake in sin. Amen. Oh, don't get scared tonight here. I didn't come to name everything in the world tonight. I did come to preach to you, amen, about your sins. Amen. We're living in a time today where a lot of people don't know the definition of what sin is, but anything that is not pleasing to God, anything that is immoral, anything that is contradictory to the Word of God is sin, my friend. Amen. If the Bible condemns it, if the Bible commands against it, it is sin. You can't break the commandments of God and be saved. You can't partake in sin and remain a part of the church because sinners have no part in the church of the living God. When Jesus comes, he's not coming for any sinners. He's coming for the glorified. sanctified church that is without sin, without spot, and without wrinkle. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, Eli knew about their sin. He didn't just hear about their sin, but he heard it time and time again. He heard report after report concerning the sin of his sons. Amen. He didn't stop there, but listen to what he said. He said, I hear that ye make the Lord's people to transgress. Not only do you transgress, but you cause the Lord's people to transgress. That's what sin does. When you partake in sin, it never affects just one individual. It affects many. Hallelujah. There's a lot of folks today, amen, the reason, amen, that their children are not saved is because of the sin that they partook in before they got saved. And their children are still partakers of the same sin. Amen, you can look through the history of different families and you'll realize that most of the time the same sins are hereditary generation after generation. Amen, you may have drug addicts, they never murder. They don't drink. They're just drug addicts. Amen. They're those that are alcoholics. And generation after generation, they reproduce more alcoholics. Amen. You got those that are killers. They produce more and more killers. It's a proven fact statistically. Amen. It's a hereditary thing. I want you to know, my friend, you can't partake in sin. You can't approve of sin without affecting more people than yourself. And we're living in a time today when many people don't realize how many people they affect by ignoring their sin. Hallelujah. If Eli would have realized before the Spirit of the Lord spoke to Samuel the consequences of ignoring his son's sins, he wouldn't have ignored them. But here's my imagination. This is what I think that Eli was thinking. Well, God's going to get them. God's going to take care of them because they're the ones sinning and not me. Are you with me tonight? Amen. But that wasn't the case. You see, Eli, because he restrained them not, God judged him as a partaker in their sin. Help me while I preach here a little while tonight. I've heard people in the church say, well, I'm not going to get involved. I don't want to discuss that or not. Amen. I want to tell you, my friend, there ain't but two sides. And that's the side of the right and the side of the wrong. There is no neutral ground. There is no gray area. We got to get back to where black is black and white is white. Amen. Old time truth is still right. Amen. And realize that if it's sin, we have no part in it. Are you going to help me tonight? We're living in an hour today where many people partake in sin and don't even realize the sin that they partake in. Amen. I've known mothers and I've known fathers, they wouldn't dare drink a beer, but they'll buy them for their children. You are a partaker in their sin. You have nothing to do with sin. God will judge you as a partaker in their sin. Are you helping me tonight? We're living in a time today where many are ignoring the fact of what God thinks. And we're looking at how we think and how we feel. I want to preach to you tonight. You know your sin. That's right. Hallelujah. Eli knew what he was doing was wrong. He knew that when he didn't obey the law and reveal his sons and bring them out before the public of Israel and let them know the sins that was being committed, he knew that he was doing wrong. But you see, the Bible doesn't say that God ever spoke to Eli concerning this. The Bible never says it. I don't know, knowing God as a merciful God. That's why I believe that Eli knew that he was partaking in their sin. I believe that he knew that he was wrong, because God wouldn't have brought judgment upon a man that he first hadn't condemned. Are you hearing me tonight? Amen. God's a merciful God. Amen. When young converts come in, they get saved and they begin to pray around the altars. Amen. It may be months, maybe even a year after, 6 months after. Amen. They're doing things and God convicts them. And they say, well, I shouldn't be doing that. I need to lay that down. Or I need to get away from that. Or I need to quit doing that. It may be several months after they get saved that God continually convicts them and condemns them of the sins that they have partaken in prior to their experience in the altar. Amen. But I want to tell you, there comes a time when God brings conviction and condemnation in our heart. If we continually ignore it, it'll be the same for us as what it is. Amen. For Eli. Amen. The Bible said there would be no more sacrifice for sin forever. It's over with. God's through dealing with you. And I want to tell you, my friend, we must not ignore sin, but we must realize that God is going to judge all sin, and all sin is going to come up before God when we stand in the presence of God, and He is going to judge every man according to his works, and all sin will be revealed. Amen. One of the minor prophets said, in his writing, some men's sins are known unto man. Other men's sins follow them to the judgment. There's going to be some men's sins. When I say men, I mean men, women, boys, and girls. Amen. Neutral gender here. Amen. But some men are going to ignore their sins. Under God's going to quit dealing with them about their sins. And they're going to think they're all right in their sins. But when they stand before God, they're going to be condemned to hellfire because of their sin. Let me hear preach to you a little while tonight. Amen. God doesn't have to convict you but one time. Amen. If you read it in the Word of God, and it's condemned in God's Word, God never has to speak to your heart. You're condemned already by the Word of God. And when we stand before the judgment seat of God, we're going to be judged by every word that proceeded from the mouth of God. We're going to be held accountable for the commandments in the Word of God. We're going to be held accountable for what's written in that book. Amen. Well, I know we're living in a generation today that don't put a whole lot of emphasis on dedication, commitment, and Bible reading. But I want to tell you something. You don't have to agree with me if you don't want to, but I'm still right, and if you disagree, you're wrong. Anybody that genuinely gets saved has a desire to be like Christ. And if they really have a desire to be like Christ, they're going to read the Bible. Amen. Because in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God and the Word was God. Amen. You won't get any more like Christ than reading the Word of God. Every time you read a verse of Scripture out of the Bible, you are planting Jesus Christ in your heart. And the more of Him you plant in your heart, the more you'll become like Jesus Christ. He is the Word. And any individual that desires to be Christ-like, any individual that desires to make heaven their home will read the Word of God and endeavor to be just like Jesus. Amen. Are you going to help me preach a little while tonight? We're living in a time today where many people want to ignore what is preached from the pulpit and come up with their own ideas and their own theories. And I know God's a merciful God, but I want to tell you, my friend, God is not merciful when it comes to being a lazy Christian. He expects us to pray. He expects us to read the Bible. And He expects us to separate from sin. Hallelujah. Woo! Lord, I feel like preaching tonight. Amen. You know your sin. Did you know about every sinner that you talk to knows the sins that they're committing. They may not know a whole lot about God. They may not know a lot about church. They may not go to church at all. Amen. But you let a preacher walk up to a man that's drinking. If he's an alcoholic and he finds out that man's preaching, he's going to hide the bottle. He's going to apologize. He's going to say something about his drinking. Why? Because he knows his sin. Oh, help me tonight. Praise God. Amen. A lot of times we have the tendency to think, well, nobody knows what's going on. Amen. Ain't nobody going to care about this little thing that I'm doing. Ain't nobody going to care about what I have to say. Ain't nobody cares about where I stand on the matter. Amen. I want to tell you something. If nobody cares, God cares. And God outweighs everybody in the United States when it comes to caring. Amen. I hear a lot of people today say, well, I don't care what people think about me. Then you ain't Christ-like. Jesus asked His disciples, whom do men say that I am? He cared what people thought about Him. He cared about His character. He cared about His purity. He cared about His walk with His Heavenly Father. And He wanted everybody that come around Him, everybody that was in His presence, He wanted them to know that He was the Christ, that He was the Son of God. And if you don't care what people think, then you're not like Jesus. Because Jesus cared about what people thought about Him. I want to tell you, if you don't care what people think about you, then you don't care if you bring a reproach against the church of the living God. You don't care if you bring a reproach against Jesus Christ. You must care about what people think about you. Amen. He knew his sin. Amen. You know, we're living in a time today, and I hear a lot of people say, well, the world's just getting worse and worse. Amen. It ain't one thing we can do about it. Oh, yeah. There's a lot of things you can do about it. One of them is you can pray for the leaders of your nation. Amen. Number two, you can stand up against all sin. Come on now. Amen. It's time that the church of the living God got refired and got some holy boldness in their backbone. Amen. And stood up and fought against what? Against sin. Amen. There's so many people today that's whining and crying. Amen. Our nation wouldn't be in the shape of its in if it wasn't for the leaders of our nation. Well, bless God, we're the ones voted them in. Amen. I want to tell you, my friend, we have got to stand against sin. Amen. This nation was founded by men that did not like sin. It was founded by men that prayed, that sought God and read the Word of God. Amen. And founded this nation as a Christian nation. People could have morality. Amen. That people could have family values. And the devil has come in and he has tried to destroy every bit of it. And some in the church has helped him do it because they refuse, like Lee Eli, to restrain their children and to restrain themselves from being a partaker of sin. Hallelujah. And listen here. President George Washington said this. He said, it is impossible to rightly govern the world without God and the Bible. John Quincy Adams said this, so great is my veneration of the Bible that the earlier my children begin to read in the Bible, amen, the more confident will be my hope that they will prove useful citizens of their country and respectful members of society. Andrew Jackson said this, that book, sir, is the rock on which our republic rests. Amen. Abraham Lincoln said this, he said, I believe the Bible is the best gift God has ever given to man. All the good from the Savior of the world is communicated to us through this book. Dwight D. Eisenhower said this. He said to read the Bible is to take a trip to a fair land where the spirit is strengthened and the faith is renewed. renewed. Douglas MacArthur said this. He said, believe me, sir, never a night goes by, be I ever so tired, but I read the Word of God before I go to bed. I want to tell you, my friend, this was men that stood up against sin, that stood up for Christianity, that stood for righteousness, that not only cared for themselves, but they cared for every generation after them. They cared for their wives. They cared for their children. And they realized what sin could do to a nation. I want to preach to you tonight. We're living in an hour today when many, amen, are ignoring the fact that there is sin. Amen. And sin is abounding. Amen. In our government. It's abounding in our schools. It's abounding in the workplace. And it's beginning to abound even in the Christian home. And we must stop sin. There has to be a time when people say, I'm going to restrain myself. I'm going to stand up against sin. Hallelujah. Amen. There comes a time that we must stand against sin. We must stand against it in our home. If you don't stand against sin in your home, you ain't fired against it in the church. Amen. Your home is what makes up the church. Your church is not a bit better. It's not a bit stronger. It's not a bit more stable. It's not a bit more spiritual than the strongest home that is in the church. Amen. That's what makes up the church. Homes. Amen. We must stand against sin in the home. Amen. I got a feeling that if Eli would have stood up against sin in the home, if he'd have confronted his sons as a holiness father should, whenever he sees sin in their life, and let them know that what they're doing is sin, it's against the commandments of God. I believe that Eli had a chance of turning them around. But he didn't do that. He didn't restrain his sons. He let them go on. Amen. We must preach against sin in the church. And we must stand for righteousness. And stand up against sin. I want to go a step further tonight. Amen. We're living in a day and a time where people don't want to go outside the home and stand up for what's right and stand up against sin. I preach to you that we're living in an hour where many Christians are selling their soul for benefits in an election ring and letting sin come into our nation when we know that it's sin. I may upset some of you's apple cart right here. But I want to tell you right now from this pulpit, and I can back it by the authority of the Word of God, if you vote for a man that's an abortionist and for abortion, you are a partaker in his sin. If you vote for a man that's for homosexual marriage and lesbianism marriage, you are a partaker in his sin. Hallelujah. And I can prove it in the Word of God. We're living in an hour today where people want to talk about Judas selling Christ for 30 pieces of silver, when we got people sitting on church pews selling our values and selling our morals for our social security increase or for our medical benefit. I want to preach to you. You know your sin, and you're going to be judged by your sin. You may look at me a little bit funny tonight, but I don't care what political party you're a part of. Right's right and wrong's wrong. Hey man, you're going to have a hard time convincing this preacher that you're right with God, that you believe in holiness, if you vote for a man that's against all of it. Amen. I'm not a politician from the pulpit, but it is my job as a man of God to proclaim the Word of God and what is wrong for our families and what is right as Christian values. I want to tell you, my friend, we better not sell the souls of our children for medical benefits, for Social Security increase, or for any other kind of benefit. We better stand for what's right. I said we better stand for what's right. God is going to judge us by what we do. Hallelujah. Let me read you a few scriptures tonight. Hallelujah. Amen. Some of you are looking at me like you ain't convinced. The Bible said in 1 Timothy chapter number 5, verse number 22, lay hands suddenly on no man, neither be a partaker of other men's sins. Keep thyself pure. Voting for a man that's for abortion and for homosexual marriages is no different than you going right down here to the local bar and sitting on a bar stool and having a social drink with the alcoholic. There ain't a bit of difference in it, my friend. You are a partaker in their sin. Amen. I knew we wouldn't shout on this one. Amen. But I want to tell you, my friend, we are living in a very critical time. Amen. And there's a lot of people don't want to hear stuff like this preached. Amen. Because they ain't got a gut in their body to stand up for what's right and to stand up for what's against sin. I want to tell you, my friend, I'm tired of the devil coming in and the devil devouring our children. If we'd have had the right men in presidency years ago, amen, prayer would have never been taken out of school. Amen. Our school system wouldn't be having shootings and murders among teenagers. But it's because we have turned our head and we have ignored the sin and we have partaken in other men's sin and put them in because they could do something for us. I want to preach to you tonight. You know that you're sinning and God knows that you're sinning. And when you stand before God, there's going to be iniquity and there's going to be blood and transgressions on your hands. Amen. You can't okay sin and be right with God. Hallelujah. Let me read you one more verse of scripture and I'm going to move on. Amen. In 2 John chapter number 1 verse number 11. For he that biddeth him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. Now you define that any way you want to, but it's as plain as a nose on my face. Amen. He that biddeth him Godspeed is a partaker in his evil deeds. Hallelujah. You can okay it all you want to. You can make excuse all you want to. But brother, sin is still sin. God's against all sin. He's against every man that commits sin. And he'll stand against sin when the world's on fire and destroyed. And he creates a new heaven and a new earth. He'll still be standing against sin. I want to tell you, we're living in a time when way too many sins have been overlooked. And it's time that we, the church of the living and God, rise up and realize everything might not be right, but we've got to go for what is right. We've got to stand for what is righteous. We got to stand for what is godly. We got to stand for that is holy. We cannot partake in the sin of this world at any price, at any benefit. We must be on God's side and stand against sin. Hallelujah. Amen. This is really a sad story. Such a great man of God ends his life the way that Eli did. The judgment of God brought upon his household. Hallelujah. And you know what really makes it sad? Out of all the times that he stood toward the children of Israel, he said, "Thus saith the word of the Lord." And all the people of Israel heeded what the prophet Eli said. Amen. They believed the word of God. And God spoke through him. Amen. At the end of his life, in his old age, amen, he can stand before the children of Israel. Amen. Because God had raised up another prophet. Amen. Samuel, just a young lad. Amen. God began to speak to him and speak through him to the children of Israel. Amen. And regroup them. Amen. I want to tell you, my friend, amen, you can have knowledge of your sin and you can keep going in the same direction. You can keep standing just like you've always stood. You can say, "Oh, I've always stood this way. I was born this way." That's not going to be an excuse when you stand before God. All sin is going to be cast into the lake of fire. Amen. And all those who partake in sin are going to be cast into hell fire. And I want to preach to you tonight. Amen. You know you sin. Every sinner knows that they're a sinner. Say, "How can you say that, preacher?" Because I've been around so many sinners, amen, in my life, witnessing to them, talking to them, that every time you mention God, they drop their head, ashamed of their sin. I've seen condemnation come upon people hundreds, maybe even thousands of times in the years that I've witnessed and dealt with sinner people. Amen. Because sin can never stand boldly in the presence of God. Can't do it. Amen. It can't do it. It may declare, it may argue for a while, but it's going to be condemned eventually. Amen. They may argue for a while on this earth, but when they stand before God, they're going to be speechless. Because when God opens the books and He reveals all sin and it's known unto all men. Amen. In those books, Brother Anthony Lester preached that message on your biography in God's library. Amen. He's got a book on every one of us up there. Everything we've ever said, everything we've ever done is listed in that book. Amen. When we stand before Him, the angel's going to bring the book and it's going to be opened. And everything is going to be revealed. Amen. And I want to tell you in closing tonight, amen, that the hour that we're living in, amen, the presidential election's coming up this year. We know we're in the last of the last days. We know what's taking place over in the Middle East. Amen. I want to tell you something, my friend. You better open your eyes and you better read your Bible and you better understand what's about to take place. And we better learn to stand up for what's right and stand against sin. I didn't mean to turn this into no political campaign. I ain't never preached a message like this from the pulpit. Well, I will tell you this. Amen. If you joke for a man that is a partaker in sin, you're going to be partaking in his evil deeds. Amen. You better vote for the best of the men that are on the ballot. Amen. The same goes in the church. Amen. It don't matter if it's your mother, your father. If it's sin, you better stand up against it and declare that it is sin. Amen. It's not popular in the hour we're living in today to preach against sin and reveal sin. But you know, I was many years ago, I was in a church, in an Assembly of God church. There was an elderly preacher there, Brother Billy Wright, a great man of God. I was a young lady in his church that had committed sin on Saturday night. I was to preach for him Sunday morning and Sunday night. And he always said, "If you're saved, you're sanctified, come on up and sing in the choir." And I seen that older brother step back and just fold his arms and look over in that direction. People begin to get out of their pews. I guess there was 30 or 40 that started toward the choir to get up there and sing.
But this certain young lady, when she got to a certain spot right before she got the altar, he called her out by name. He told her what she had done the night before. And he said, you can stop and repent, confess your sins at the altar, or you can go back and sit down. That's been about 16 or 17 years ago that man did that. If you was to do that in our churches today, you'd have people get up and walk out the door. There'd be some mad at the preacher because they don't believe in revealing sin. They don't believe anymore in standing up against sin. But I want to tell you, my friend, if we're going to make it to heaven, we're going to have to boldly declare that sin is wrong. We're going to have to boldly declare that sin is not of God. And anybody that is a sin is not of God. Anybody that commits sin is not of God. Amen. And we're living in a day and an hour today where our churches across our nation are accepting all kinds of sin. Amen. In their pulpits, in their choirs, and things of that nature. I want to declare unto you that the Word of God still declares, amen, that we should stand up against sin. Hallelujah. I want to tell you in closing tonight, you may not agree with everything that I preach. Amen. There's some things that you may argue with. Some things you may fight against. That doesn't matter to me. I have my convictions and I have my understanding of the Word of God. My job is to preach it to you. Your job is to pray through over it, because you're going to be judged by it when you stand before God. And if I'm right and you're wrong, brother, I'm going to be shouting in glory while you're burning in hell fire. I want to tell you, it's time that we realize that God does not play with sin, but God will judge all sin.
Brother Andy taught a great lesson this morning on the rich young ruler. Kept the commandments all of his life. You see, many of the Pharisees, they had to learn the book of law. They had to quote it as teenagers. Amen. That was their schooling. They learned they could quote the book of law. Amen. Every law that God wrote, they could quote it. The Pharisees could. Amen. This young man said, I've kept the commandments from my youth. But God said, one thing thou likest. Just that desire for his earthly possessions. And that man went to hell. You think you're going to get by with your sin? No, you're not. It only takes one sin to wipe out every bit of the good that you've done all of your life. When you stand in the judgments of God, as we stand all over this house tonight, I've done my best to preach to you. You know your sin. You know your sin. Why don't you just humble before God and repent of your sin? Confess your sin. Tell God you're sorry for your sin. And say, Lord, I don't want to stand for what's wrong, but I want to stand up for what's right. I want to be ready to meet you. I don't want to be a partaker of sin. Amen. I don't want to agree with those that partake in sin. Amen. But I want to stand up against sin. I want you and I want the world to know that I stand for what God stands. Would you come to this altar tonight, church? Let's find us a place to pray. Let's seek the name of the Lord. Amen. Let's find us a place to pray here tonight. You know your sin. Don't take your sin to the judgment, but confess your sin and let the Lord forgive you of your sin. For He's just and able to forgive us of all sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Come on, church, let's pray. Let's seek the face of God tonight. Amen. Let's tell it all to God.